Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome back to another episode of the Believe in Minnesota Football podcast hosted by me, Tony Liebert. You can follow me on Twitter at Tony Liebert. That is Tony, L-I-E-B-E-R-T. And TikTok and Instagram at Tony underscore Liebert. For today's episode, we will be talking about the biggest questions and storylines the Gophers face heading into the 2023 season. Plus, on the back end, we'll have a great interview with 2024 offensive lineman commit Mauricio Hines from Nova Scotia, Canada, by way of Clearwater, Florida. Very nice guy, very good interview. I think Gophers fans will like that. I think he'll fit right in with Minnesota, being born and raised in Canada. All right, so I guess we'll just hop right into some of the biggest questions and storylines heading into this season. I think at the top of the bill, it's really the theme of this season, the theme of the offseason is it's going to be the first year with super prospects, golden boy quarterback Ethan Kaliokmanis as the head signal caller and the top guy under center for the whole year. So I think the biggest question is how good is he? Gophers fans obviously know how talented he is, and he's been hyped up for such a long time since he's really arrived on campus. And I personally think it's rightfully so. Just looking back, he was the 349th ranked prospect in his high school class in 2021. According to 247 Sports, he was a four-star. And last year, in his first real game action, making a couple starts, he was 54.1% completion percentage. He had 946 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. And then he had 34 carries for 140 yards and 1 touchdown. And I think if you have to step back and look at the bigger picture, he made his first career start in one of the toughest atmospheres in the sport on the road at Penn State in the whiteout game. So for any young quarterback, that's just an incredibly high, insurmountable task to make your first start in that situation. I personally think he did pretty well in that situation, given the circumstances. And then I really think he only got better throughout the year. That Iowa game wasn't his best work. The Northwestern game, he was just, it was a handoff party. There was just a lot of groundwork with the running backs, not him really. So he really wasn't asked to do much in that game. But the Wisconsin game, he showed his full repertoire. 19 of 29, 319 yards, 2 touchdowns on the road. And that was the last regular season game of the year. In the bowl game before he got hurt, he was looking good too. So I think if you look at it, you have to note he was getting better every game. I personally think so. And in that Wisconsin game, he showed why Gophers fans are so excited. And I think there's a lot to like from that game, obviously. Dalen Wright, a guy who was big wide receiver in that game, no longer with the program. But Daniel Jackson, terrific game. Lameke Brockington, terrific game. There's just a lot to be excited from that game. If you went back and watched that game, you're like, Ethan Kaliokmanis is going to win the Heisman. Obviously, in a Gophers lens, I think a lot of people, I'm being obviously exaggerative, but that was a good game. And there's a lot to be excited about for that. But I guess on the broader landscape of this season, obviously everyone's going to talk about the schedule, talk about this, talk about that. But I think Ethan ultimately impacts this team ceiling more than any player on the roster, given the schedule, given how much turnover there was on the offensive line, not dramatically, obviously, with just JMS and Rushmeyer moving on, but it's not one of their best offensive lines recently. So given that, given Mo is now gone, talented wide receiver corps, talented tight end, but I think Ethan, this offense is really going to go as far as Ethan takes it. And I don't have the answer for you how good he is, but I mean, I've watched him practice many times. Every time I watch him practice, I'm just impressed. He's got the it factor. He's got the skills. He's got the leadership. He's got it all. So it's just about showing it now. And week one against Nebraska, I think it's going to be a great litmus test for that. And then pretty quickly, it gets tough going on the road against Drake May and UNC. But it'll be fun to watch him grow. And I think Gopher fans, I think they will, but they'll realize it's not going to happen overnight. And you shouldn't have huge expectations from day one. But you still should have some high hopes, because I think he's that talented. But you just got to be realistic about it and take it game by game. And I think we're going to see that this year. All right. Another big storyline is the whole new offensive system. Kind of talked about it with Mo moving on to the NFL. Not a dominant offensive line like they've had. Not that surefire NFL prospect on the offensive line. So they're not going to be this power running team. At least you wouldn't think they will be. They might try to, but they have a new running back, all this stuff. But more importantly, they have a new offensive play caller. Kirk Ciarrocca went back to Rutgers, and Greg Harbaugh and Matt Simon are now co-offensive coordinators. And being that Simon has been with the program for a while, people kind of, I guess, assumed that he would be the main play caller. But in the spring, it did seem like Harbaugh was heavily involved. It almost seemed like he was calling plays. Obviously, that's a bit of speculation, but during practice, that's kind of what it looked like. I really think it will be a 50-50 thing. It could change throughout the year, if like that, but I think they're two very good offensive minds. I don't know if they're good play callers yet. We saw Simon in a few games who looked impressive. So I think it'll be an interesting collaborative effort, and I think Gophers fans have the right to be optimistic that they're going to pass the ball a little bit more. Obviously, with all those weapons that we talked about on the offensive end, they were one of the highest run percentage teams in college football last season and for the last few seasons. So it'll be interesting to see how different it looks. We know that Ethan's running capability affects the offense a little bit. Anywhere from 3 to 7 plays a game, he could be running the ball, which is way more than Tanner Morgan ever had the chance to do. So that impacts your offense. So it'll be interesting. That's obviously something to look out for, because I think it will look different. It's just about how different. And that's something I don't think we're going to know until week one. Obviously, we mentioned it, the legendary Gophers running back Muhammad Ibrahim is off to the NFL with the Lions, and the Gophers have to now look to replace him. It's tough to replace any all-time running back of Mo's level, but the Gophers have plenty of talent in their backfield. Most notably, they went out and got Sean Tyler from Western Michigan, transfer running back, flipped him from Oklahoma State, and I think he's very talented, and Gophers fans are going to see that very quickly. But he's also a guy who's not a bell cow, and he's never had a huge workload as he's been the number one running back, but he's not a guy you're going to give 25, 30 carries a game like the Gophers did with Mo sometimes. So there's definitely room for other running backs to step up, and Bryce Williams is kind of that veteran guy who's been there, done that. But I don't think he's ever going to be the number one option. But I think he's going to kind of be in that 3 to 5 carry role every game. Might come on a third down sometimes. He's not a guy who's going to make mistakes. So maybe early in the year, the Gophers trust him in the red zone. I could see something like that happening. Also, he's not a guy who has this like insane breakaway speed or this insane big play potential, but it is valuable to have a guy, you know, that's not going to make many mistakes. And that is Bryce Williams. So I think he will have a role throughout the year, barring injury too. His role could grow. But I think what Gophers fans should be excited about is Zach Evans, the redshirt freshman from Texas, who looked terrific in the spring, looked terrific in the spring game. He has the potential to his role to slowly increase throughout the year. Sean Tyler's role is going to be there all season. More of a pass catching threat than any other running back, I think, on this roster. It'll be interesting to see if the Gophers utilize that, because historically under PJ Fleck, they haven't utilized their running backs out of the backfield in pass catching situations as much as other teams. But Tyler, I think, has a different skill set than any other running back they've had. So it'll be interesting how they do that. But Zach Evans has a chance to be one of the breakout stars on this team this season. It might not happen week one, like I said. Similar with Ethan, he's a young player. So that rarely happens week one, but he could be a guy come week 9, 10, 11, 12, where you're like, this guy has a chance to be special. And he'll be an interesting guy to look out for, but I think it'll be a combination of those three guys looking to replace Mo with true freshman Darius Taylor always lurking behind. But I think his time is going to come a little bit more next season. In 2024. And then another really big story of the offseason was the production the Gophers lost on the defensive side of the ball. A lot of it to the transfer portal, some to the NFL. Terrell Smith and Jordan Howden both getting drafted. Trill Carter transferring to Texas. Michael Flip Dixon transferring to Rutgers. Braylon Oliver transferring to Georgia Tech. Thomas Rush and Mariana Sorimaran both graduate. And so that is seven starters that they lost on the defensive side of the ball. So they return Justin Wally. They return Tyler Newbin. They return Kyler Baugh. And then they return a mixture of Danny Strigow, Jalen Logan Redding, and Jaw Joyner. A few of those guys started different games. Danny Strigow probably started the most, but in that position, it's just a constant rotation. But it's just, how are the Gophers going to do? They went out in the transfer portal. They got Jack Henderson from Southeast Louisiana. They got Chris Collins from North Carolina. They got Trayvon Jones from Elon. They got Tyler Bride from Georgia Southern, excuse me. Craig McDonald from Auburn, who still might need a waiver to play right away, being that he's second time transferring. But they got a lot of talent. Ryan Selig at the linebacker position. So it's going to be a collective effort. I'd be lying if I'd said it's not a – they didn't – they did a good job recovering. I would take most of the players that they lost in the transfer portal versus the players they gained. But again, it's all about who fits your system. You want to have people that want to be there. And they still have talent. And they still can be one of the best defenses in the country. On paper, I don't think their defense is as good as last year. I'll admit. But players like Tyler Bride. Well, they still have Tyler Newbin. Safety, Justin Wally, cornerback. Those are two of, I believe, the best defensive players in the conference. And they're going to need to lean on those guys. They're going to have the defensive line take a step forward. That trio of pass rushers, like I mentioned, Joyner, Strigow, Jalen Logan Redding, if they take a step forward, this defense will take a step forward. Cody Lindenberg needs to become that number one alpha linebacker, which is possible. It's just they need all these things to happen. They don't. Newman and Wally are really the only two consistent things they have. Kyler Baugh was an impressive defensive tackle last year, but I don't know if you want him to be your number one option on the interior. He's definitely a above average starter. But again, like Devin Eastern, if he takes a step forward, that's a big win. The second linebacker position is going to be a big question. I'll get into that one later, but life after Mariano Starry Martin. He's a guy who's been in the middle of the defense. He had his up and downs, but he's a big leader you have to replace. So there's a lot of questions on the defensive side of the ball. Like I mentioned, there's still plenty of talent. There's nothing to be worried about, but it might not be the dominant unit we saw the last 2 years right off the bat. It might take a little bit. And Joe Rossi has shown as a defensive coordinator that he's able to rebuild that side of the ball, and he's just going to maybe need to do it a little bit more this season. And I kind of staying with that trend, I think one of the weaknesses of the team last season was their inability to produce consistent pass rush. Sacks are not an accurate stat all the time for pressure you get on the quarterback, but they were tied for 118th in college football last season with only 19 sacks on the year, which is a number that is not very good. For being one of the best defenses in the country last year, and the fact that they only had 19 sacks is kind of remarkable, because if that number was any higher, they would have been like a historically great defense, I think. But I think they're going to have to do a little bit better than that this year. They don't have Terrell Smith and Jordan Newbin anymore. They still have at least two NFL caliber defensive backs, but they don't have that elite secondary like they had last year that they can lean on, that kind of makes it not as important to generate pressure. So, like I said, I think the biggest question mark for this defense is the trio of Jalen Logan Redding, Ja Joyner, and Danny Strigow. If any of those three can take another step forward and be like an NFL level talent rather than like a above average starter, which I think all three of them kind of are at now, if one of them can take that next leap and get like 5, 6, 7 sacks this year, like that's going to be huge for this defense. And if they can do that, I think this defense will be fine. And it's a fair thing to assume, but I don't think you want to guarantee it happening. So that's just a big question. Like I mentioned, the wide receivers, obviously another big offseason thing. Chris Ottman-Bell coming back for another season, adding Elijah Spencer as a transfer from Charlotte, adding Corey Crooms as a transfer from Western Michigan, losing Daylon Wright to TCU. So they shook up the wide receiver room, but still plenty of talent. Who's going to be the number one option? I think that's honestly the biggest question. Chris Ottman-Bell's the most familiar guy, but at this point in his career, he's dealt with injuries a lot. God forbid, I hope he doesn't have another one, but Daniel Jackson looked like he could be a number one option at the end of last year. Elijah Spencer looked the part in the spring, looked like such a talented player. Chris Ottman-Bell didn't play in the spring because he was recovering from injury. So it'll be interesting to see how they deal with all those options. Lemeke Brockington. In the Wisconsin game, we saw how talented he is. He might be the fourth option. And that just tells you how many receivers they have on this team. Kristen Hoskins is a guy they also really like. They just got a lot of options up and down the depth chart. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. It's a good problem to have. And it's a great problem to have when you have a young quarterback like Ethan. So it'll be interesting, but like, if I had to put my reputation, I guess, on one of them leading the team in receptions, it might be Daniel Jackson, to be honest. That might do a little bit with the fact that Crabb hasn't played all 12, 13 games in a while. And Daniel Jackson looked so good at the end of last season. And Ethan had a connection with him. But we'll see, obviously. Elijah Spencer might lead the team in touchdowns. Jackson could be receptions. Rab could be yards. It could be something like that. Like, it could be a three-headed monster. I think it might change every game, but it's a good problem to have. It'll be interesting to watch. I think another fun thing heading into the season is, at this point last year, if you asked a Gophers fan who was the best player on the team, a lot of them would say Mo Ibrahim. Or maybe John Michael Schmitz, because he had that first-round hype, I think, all season. And at this point this year, I think it really comes down to Tyler Newbin or even Brevin Spanford. Spanford has a chance to be one of the best tight ends in the sport this year. And Tyler Newbin has a chance to be one of the best safeties. And I think it's a fun back and forth. Obviously, it's not like a question mark as the other things I've said, but I think that'll be a fun storyline to follow. I think both of them will hear their name called in the NFL draft next spring. I think those are right now the two. I'd be pretty comfortable, I think, putting my reputation saying that both those guys will hear their name called. Newbin has a chance to be a first rounder, almost guaranteed, I think, top 100 picks. Spanford could hear his name quickly rise. He'll be a big pre-draft guy, I think. He'll get a lot of buzz. Of his interesting athletic profile, being so big, being built like a power forward, it'll just be a fun storyline to watch. Kind of, I guess, wrapping up here, a few more. Like I mentioned earlier, the linebacker rotation, I think it might be the second biggest question mark after the defensive line on the defense. Because there's no Mariano Sorimarin, a guy who's been the stalwart of the linebacker room for the past three, even 4 years. Cody Lindenberg showed he's a Big Ten linebacker last season. He performed very well at the end of the year, only got better, but now he's the number one guy. He's supposed to be the guy with the green dot on the defense. You want your linebacker to be this leader. I think Tyler Newbin will kind of assume that role. I wouldn't be shocked if I think Lindenberg, I don't know exactly how the Gophers defense works for like who's going to be calling plays and calling signals, but in the back end, Newbin will obviously control his guys. But Lindenberg, he needs to take a step forward, like I said. And then after him, really interesting. I think there'll be an interesting rotation all year. Ryan Selig from Western Michigan is a guy that is a front runner to be the number two option, but Rowan Zolman from Miami of Ohio, he's a fun, versatile player that they got in the transfer portal, but he's still pretty young. Joey Gerlach, redshirt freshman from Woodbury, got a little bit of hype in the spring, and then you got Lucas Finnessy still there. Derek LeCaptain, who's a good leader, guy who obviously was a former walk-on. He didn't play in the spring because he was recovering from injury as well, but they got a lot of interesting options in the 3, 4, and 5 spots, so it'll be interesting to see if any of those guys break through, but not as much of a strength as it has been in the years past, so there's some fun questions in that department as well. I kind of mentioned it before, the offensive line. It's at least the worst offensive line since the COVID year. And during the COVID year, they were still obviously very talented. They had JMS. They had Falele. They had Sam Schluter. They had, they even had, what's his name? Who's the guy from Dunlap? Highest ranked recruit. Highest ranked mid-ed recruit in the PJ Fleck era now with the guy from Wisconsin. I'm blanking on his name, but that's besides the fact. All I'm saying is there's a few question marks. There's no surefire NFL player on this offensive line. I think the thing that needs to happen is Ariante Ursary needs to take a step forward. He has the chance to be that guy out of more than any other player on the offensive line. I think he's the most talented player in that unit. So he has a chance to take a step forward and maybe hear his name called, make an NFL roster. But we all know Quinn Carroll, up and down run last season. Still very talented guy. I like more that he moved into guard. I think that's his natural position. And I think we'll see improvement out of him this year. But then you got Martez Lewis, a guy who was in and out last year, rotating with Carroll. Nathan Bowe played the bowl game at center. Did a fairly good job. Had a few struggles with snapping, if I remember. But like I said, it's not that surefire is a thing. It's been the past 2 years, so it's a question mark. But I think the offensive line coach Brian Callahan's shown he can develop that unit. But again, it's not as surefire as it's been the past few years. And then, lastly, I didn't really want to talk about this because I think it's been talked about enough this offseason, is the schedule. Everyone's been talking about, they're like, like they can't win 8 games with this schedule. They missed their window, blah, blah, blah. And I think everyone, the schedule obviously matters. They have tough games. North Carolina's their toughest non-conference game in a while. Having Colorado the last 2 years helped them, at least for the record, because Colorado stinks. They had stunk, I should say. They'll probably be better now with Coach Prime. But I did, and then obviously we have Ohio State and Michigan on the schedule. Didn't play either one of those teams last year. Played Ohio State the year before. Haven't played Michigan in a while. No Penn State on the schedule this year, though. Don't want to keep talking about this. The last episode was more about the schedule. And I just think people put a little too much emphasis on it. And you just kind of need to take it game by game. That's the most important thing with football. If you look at it as a 12-game season week one, that's kind of, I guess, when you get in trouble. I think any coach will tell you that too. It's very coach speak to say take it game by game, but I think this year is one of the more important years for the Gophers to do that. And like when you look at the whole schedule, then the Nebraska game becomes a lot harder, I think, because then you're looking at, oh, you got to play North Carolina, you got to play Michigan, you got to play Ohio State, got to play Iowa, got to play Wisconsin. And then you forget about Nebraska. Nebraska is not an easy game, as much as Gophers fans and Big Ten fans like to talk about that. Having them at home is a big deal. It's Matt Rhule's first game. I think they're going to be better under Matt Rhule, and they're going to be better than last year, I think. So that's not a game you can overlook. You want to start on the right foot, especially when you have a schedule like this. So it'll be interesting, but it's exciting. Football season's coming. I think it's going to be a fun year. It's going to be a different year for the Gophers. And yeah, I think we're going to wrap up this section here. Got an interview with Mauricio Hines coming. But as always, I appreciate you guys listening. Row the boat, Sky Uma, and go Gophers. All right. Let me now introduce a very special guest, Gophers football offensive line commitment, Mauricio Hines. How are we doing today?
I'm doing very well. Good as can be.
Good to hear. So I guess we'll kind of start with your whole high school career. You obviously have an interesting story from Nova Scotia, Canada. You transferred to the States, Pennsylvania originally, and now you're in Clearwater, Florida. Yep. So I guess from your upbringing in Canada to the United States, kind of how did that whole process work and what kind of brought you to play high school football in the U.S.?
Well, it started off, I played hockey. Like, I was a hockey player for 10 years. And one, like, the last year I wanted to play, like, the trainer for the team I was trying out for was best friends with the football coach. So I started doing training with him on the off season just to better myself on the ice. And he ended up, you know, saying, like, just come, I coach the team, come play for me. Like, we can, you know, you can play football. And so I did it. And I played fullback, slot receiver, D-end, nose, like, name it. I played it. I played it all. I loved having the ball in my hand. And then after that, yeah, so I quit hockey, went into football. Then I COVID happened, and I couldn't really play. Tried to go down to the States, to St. Paul's, but I was grade 9, so I was too young. My mom thought it would be best if I stayed at home, and I agreed. So stayed at home, played football there that year. COVID happened, got into grade 10 it was. Didn't have a grade 10 season, couldn't play football because there was no contact sports. So he started off a flag football league. So I played tight end in the flag football league. And I just started posting clips to YouTube and stuff, YouTube, Twitter, everything I could, because I knew that's the platforms they were using to recruit kids. Just getting recruited from that. Clearwater reached out. There was a bunch of other schools that reached out. And I narrowed it down to Clearwater and the Hill School in Philly. Picked Philly over it. You know, I thought, like, it was on campus. It was like, in Philadelphia. I felt like it was all on campus, and being so young, I felt like that was a better decision for me. And then I ended up transferring after the first semester, did half a semester, a few months at home, and then came here for spring, two springs ago now. And it was the best decision I ever made, I think. Like, just the development is unlike anything else. And so I just started playing football, and I started right guard here last season. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's quite the journey. So would that have been seventh or eighth grade? What was the first year that you played football then, I guess?
First year would have been freshman year. But okay. Because back home, it's not high school, so it's, like, still I guess they would call it, like, I don't know. It's, like, rec football. It's just, like, there's a bunch of teams in town. And I just played for that.
Okay. Did you just play hockey growing up as a kid, or did you play any other sports?
No, I played everything. I played lacrosse, got drafted to play on the junior team for lacrosse. I played hockey, played basketball a lot, played a lot of baseball. And, like, football was really the last sport I got into out of them all.
Yeah, you're a pretty big guy, I guess. What position did you play in hockey?
I played right wing. I wasn't a D-man. I could skate pretty well. I was pretty good at skating, and you know, I liked having the puck. I liked scoring, so I did it.
Yeah. So now you're obviously at Clearwater Academy in Florida. Yep. The Gophers have had a little bit of a connection in recent years with your current teammate Dallas Sims and Ryland Kelly a few years ago, and Tyrell Lawrence a few years ago from Canada. How has your experience been at Clearwater Academy? And how much do you think that relationship that they already had with the Gophers, I guess, affected your recruitment?
Obviously my coaches knew the coaches were good guys. Like, if I did go there, they would put me in good hands and stuff. Like, when I was going through the process, they really liked the coaches. They talked very highly of them. But I wouldn't say that because those guys were going there, it really affected why I chose the school, or like it affected my recruiting with the school. Dallas just actually walked past me. He lives, his room's right there. So that's, you know, it'd be good. Like, I always wanted, you know, it would be good to go in college with someone I knew, obviously, but if that didn't happen, it's whatever. Like, I'm not worried about it. But I think that, you know, me and Dallas, we're going to be roommates, and I think it obviously makes the transition easier, especially with guys like Ryland was his best friend back home. And when I went on the visit, I got to talk to Tyrell about, like, you know, Clearwater and making transition here and everything. And I got to talk to Ryland about it, everything like that. So, like, to have someone with a little familiarity to where I'm coming from, it definitely helped on that standpoint to get to, like, the information I wanted to know. But I feel like a lot of people leave home first when they're going to college. Like, we've all been away from home, so it makes it easier to transition.
Did you meet Dallas, I guess, when you transferred to Clearwater? Or did you know him before? And I guess, how has your guys' relationship kind of grown?
No, I had no clue who he was before. I came down here. He was the first person in the house that I talked to. He came down. We just pulled in, me, my mom, my younger brother, and he came down and introduced himself to all of us. So I met him first. And then, like, after that, it's really history. Like, we've been best friends ever since. Like, we hang out. I hang out in his room every night. We just listen to music, you know, talk, relax. Like, every night we're together. And it was like that for the first, I want to say, 8 months I was here. We did that every night, just hanging out in his room. Like, and so we got really close. And that's my guy, man. Like, that's my brother. Like, you form a close bond with all the guys in your house because, you know, it's like, it's not like you got parents around. So you got your host parents, obviously, but, like, your guys are the ones that have your back. If you need something, you go to them. Like, so we're brothers, really.
So are you guys, like, in a dorm situation, or kind of how is the living like down there?
I live in a house downstairs. They have, we have four rooms upstairs. So yeah. In three of those rooms, where there's two guys in each room, and then Dallas has his own room. And we live with two teachers from the school. You know, they're the best people. I couldn't ask for anything else. Like, they're, you know, to allow us to come live here and pursue our dreams is crazy. But then, like, the people they are when you're talking to them, like, it feels like they're a part of your family, you know, especially because you're living with them. Like, every time I leave, I just got back last night at 2 a.m. Like I made or like 2:30, I made it home. And they stayed up and waited for me just to see me. Like that's the kind of thing I'm dealing with here. So we live in a house. But yeah, we're just living off campus.
That's a fun dynamic as a high schooler. So I guess Nova Scotia is kind of interesting part of the world. Obviously, it's a little bit like secluded up there in Canada. And did you feel like a big transition while living now in Florida? It's obviously a little bit of a different climate, or was that kind of just smooth along with the transition for you?
No, it was I was living away from home before, so it definitely helped that I had some experience with it. But the transition wasn't that bad. Like, you had to get used to the heat, obviously. It definitely gets hot here, way hotter than it does back home, I'll tell you that. But, you know, anything I do back home, like, all I really do back home is go fishing and hang out with my family and friends. Like, I'm not, like, obviously work out, but besides that, like, I'm not much. And so you come here, and these guys just show you the ropes, and I feel like our program in whole, like, I can definitely speak for this year and last year, like, it's a family feel every time. Like, these are your guys. Like, it doesn't matter what position you play. Like, I go at it with my D linemen every practice. Like, they're crazy, don't get it twisted, but like, end of practice, we say I love you. Like, they're like, I feel like the adjustment with the people here, they pick the right people to make the culture amazing.
Yeah, I think that's the best part about football is the bond you get with your teammates. So you had an interesting recruitment. It kind of heated up in the last few months, getting offers from a handful of different schools. I guess kind of what stood out about the Gophers compared to every other school you talked to, and what about, I guess, your recruitment initially stood out to you between Minnesota?
Yo, boys, give me a
– That's Dallas right there.
My bad.
No worries. I don't know. The Gophers, you know, like, Coach Simon came down, watched the practice, and after he came down one time, Dallas was like, you know, like, he was like, what players do you got? Dallas was like, look, I got this left tackle. Like, and Dallas really told him about me, told him to keep an eye out. He came back next practice. I had a great practice. At the end of spring, I had a few good weeks. I put together like a good week and a half, 2 weeks. And Coach Simon was there for one of those practices, and he loved it. And so when I saw that, like, he called me the next day, offered me, talked to Coach Callahan. I really like him. It reminds me of the coaches I have here. And when I when they talk about their culture, it's the culture that I'm playing with now. Like, they say the same things. Like, if you want a great team, you build it from the bottom, and it has to be led by the players and stuff like that. And so it's like, I fit so well here. And if it's very similar in their culture and their dynamic, and I know the coaching is amazing. Like, Coach Fleck, I love his energy. Like, he's a guy I would love to be around. Coach Cali, I have full faith. He knows what he's doing. Like, love his coaching. And they think I can be a player on their team. Like, so to have that belief in me, that faith in me, and always be like, they were always contacting me. I get texts like Coach Fleck every day, every second day, whatever. Like, calling with Coach Cali every few nights, like, more than I would other coaches. They were really reaching out and showing me they really wanted me. And so I feel like that really stood out. And they just wanted me to come onto campus, and I loved it. So yeah, I feel like that's what really stood out.
So Coach Flex, obviously a unique personality. He's very energetic guy. Yep. What was, I guess, your first impressions of him? Because obviously you've talked to a lot of different coaches, and he is pretty unique.
When we went on the visit, we sat there. I sat there with my mom and my brother, and as soon as the visit was done, my mom looked at me and was like, Mauricio, you match him. Like, you match his energy. Like, I'm that type of person. I'm always energetic, always have a smile on my face. I'm ready to go, like, always hyped up. A little goofy sometimes, but, like, it's like, I feel like I have a pretty big personality, and so does he. And because that's so similar, I feel like we get along. That's a coach I would love to play for, because, you know, it's always easier to adjust to stuff and, like, to get used to stuff if people are similar to you in that area. You know what I mean? So I feel like, you know, like, the energy guy is crazy. Like, it just makes you want to be there every day. It makes you want to go harder. It makes you want to, like, all of it. You just want to – you want to impress him, because, you know – like, if he's like that normally, imagine when he's, like, really happy that y'all, like, won the big game, won a bowl game. Like, his personality then, his energy then would be ecstatic. It would be amazing to see. Like, And that's what I want to do.
Yeah. In my time, I guess, following the program with Coach Fleck, there's definitely a style of player that I think buys into his system. And when he's able to find guys that buy in, it seems like it is a very good match. And yeah. Based on what you said, I think you fit right into that mold. So you mentioned Coach Callahan, and the Gophers have had success developing offensive linemen the last few years with John Michael Schmitz last year, big Daniel Falele a few years ago. How much did, I guess, the program success on the offensive line and even as a whole kind of in the past few years, obviously building more as a program, from your point of view, was it more the relationships you built with the coaching staff, or how much of an impact did the success of the program impact your recruiting?
Like, obviously I want to be a part of a team that wins, and you know, they've been doing that the last 3 years. It's like 9-3 or something like that. And so that's a winning program. And you know, I'm pretty new to football. So like for him to, like, he wants to develop me then, and I have faith that he will do that. I wouldn't say the success of the program had like a crazy amount. Like, I just want to win, obviously. But I would say the relationships I built, the culture I saw, like all that stuff really played a major factor into it. And it just felt like, it felt right. Like Minnesota, it looks like home. Like all these stuff, like I'm not dealing with this hot weather like I am in Florida. And so I think it's a fit, really.
Yeah. So obviously you went on your visit during the whole summer splash event, which is something that's obviously become popular for the Gophers program. I guess if you're comfortable sharing, what kind of, I guess, went into your visit, and what's something that, I guess, a recruit goes through when they go on an official visit during that weekend? What was your relationship like with the other recruits? And I guess kind of what was that like on your end?
See, that really stood out to me, like the relationship they got you to build with the other recruits. Like, so I got there on the Thursday night, and obviously I'm not allowed talking to them, like not allowed seeing them. I can't sit down with them yet. But they set up a dinner, so I sat down with Brett Carroll. And so I'm really happy when he just committed. I sat down with him and his mom, and we just, like, you know, we just got to talk and know each other. And then they had a hospitality suite set up for the kids upstairs with, like, this food. And so I went up there, and all the recruits that were there pretty much sat around the table until, like, I got there around 8, and we were there until 11:30, like, to build the relationship with the guys before I got to even see the rest of the thing. Like, obviously that's very important. And then, like, obviously I fit into football, like they said, but, like, to show me the vibe they did, like, I went out on Coach Flex boat and stuff like that. We just talked about, you know, we talked about everything. Like, I got to go – I love fishing. It's my favorite thing. I got to go fishing. And Coach Nickel – I didn't know who Coach Nickel was the first day, and we were fishing. And so – or, like, that Friday, and he, like, you know, he was there, like, he was walking me around. We were fishing and stuff like that. I had no clue who he was. And then the next day he did a presentation. And it ended up being the strength coach. And I was like, you know, like, I liked him a lot. Love his energy. He's from Boston. Like, it's 12 hours away from home, so he understands the East Coast. And then, like, I'm going to say he's one of the best at what he does, like, to develop guys in the weight room. And he understands it. And for him to be a great guy off the field, like, you know, like, just a great guy you want to be around. And then for him to be pushing you in the weight room, like, you just want to succeed, then you want to impress him. You want to do as best as you can, especially because, you know, he has your back off the field. Like, I really liked him a lot. And so I feel like, yeah, they showed me all the culture and all the vibes that were all about Minnesota was all about. And it sold me.
Well, it seems like the Coach Fleck boat rides become a tradition of the summer splash. And like you said, Nova Scotia and Minnesota, obviously pretty similar climates, obviously coming from a hockey background too, and fishing. I guess the last question I'll get you out on here, what's your favorite hockey team? Now that you're coming to the state of hockey, you're going to be able to watch a little bit more.
Yeah, it's Boston Bruins. Has been since I was 3 years old. So, like, you know, Coach Nickel, like, I gotta, you know, my guy's from there. Like, how can you not like that team? I love that team. Except I'm not really happy with them right now because how do you have a great season and lose first round of the playoffs? Like, I needed them to go all the way. I was very angry when I witnessed that one happen. Words can't describe how mad I was. But, you know, they're still my guys. Pretty sad that a few of them are retiring. Like, Bergie, I love that guy. He's another Canadian. Brad Marchand from Nova Scotia. So I played in his home rink. But yeah, that's my favorite team. I can't believe they lost first round. I don't know what to say. I can't believe it.
Yeah. Well, you'll get to watch the best college hockey program in the country now. Plenty of hockey. Oh, maybe even Minnesota State High School tournament. That's always fun to watch too.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, thanks again for doing this. I really appreciate it. Best of luck the rest of the way, and I'll talk to you later.
Thank you. Have a great one.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.